Let's begin with a word of prayer. I like that. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. He is the one that makes everything that we do acceptable to God. People, this is very important. Being here is not what is the issue is. Being here in the power of the Spirit. That's the whole heart of this morning's Colossians study and the next few Sundays in Colossians. It's not a matter that you do good versus doing bad is sin. It's a matter of doing what we call good in the power of the Spirit. If it's not in the power of the Spirit, it's not good before God. And I'll show you that in Scripture. So it's a matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you of all people know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, the privilege and the opportunity we have in this country to pick the church that we choose to worship in, that we worship in that church, that we can study your word as we see it's written to us. This freedom has been graciously given and protected by our military, whom we are most grateful for. And Father, we're grateful to you and your Son for establishing the local church. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, what are we going to sing?
Oh, let's join in hymn number 507, 507, O God of Our Fathers. It's a familiar tune. I know it's been a while since we've sung, O God of Our Fathers, but it's a familiar tune to the tune of We Gather Together. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. I've only got three on recording here, so we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 507.
Hymn writer, the fourth verse would be the most powerful, and the third verse, I just would have something to throw in there. And I grew up in a Baptist church, 1, 2, and 4, 1, 2, and 4. And why did they ever write the third verse? But let's see. Got many things I want to cover this morning. Let's begin, if you don't mind, with Judith. She went in Tuesday to have her thyroid removed at the advice of several different doctors. But bless her heart, she knew it needed to come out. And the surgeon told us Tuesday after the surgery that she did not see any cancer. but they sent it to the lab, and the lab work came back Friday that it was very cancerous. The cancer was hidden and would have been extremely disastrous, but apparently they got it all. And both Judith and I are just so thankful to God. That's our praise and our thanksgiving that God did that. God led her to, and she likes to say, in the power of the Spirit, and I appreciate that, to have the thyroid removed. And somehow she said she just knew there was something in there. And well, the surgeon said it. She learned a lot, other things to look for. But it was hidden. She said the cancer was hidden. And now as far as recovery, she came home Wednesday not able to breathe very much. Well, let me first of all, just from my standpoint, had your thyroid removed. I would expect it a bend, you know, a whole thing. Just a little bitty, hardly a half inch long and a half inch wide band-aid across the area. And but she was hardly able to breathe. And Thursday a little better, right? Today, still not a whole lot better. And very difficult to talk. So she's got a pad and she'll write things down to me. And I say this to you, but I've said it to her, so I'm not out of line, that under other circumstances, this would be nice. My wife can't talk. But right now, this is not very good. And so I'm very prayerful for her. And I just appreciate so much your prayers. I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe your prayers got in the surgeon's hands, got all the cancer out, and I just request you pray for a healthy, speedy recovery at God's timing. She's pretty much weak in her entire body, can't talk too much, difficult breathing, and has to be careful what she eats. And on that level, let me tell all of you something. If you want food, go to Phil and Pat's McMillan's Diner. I mean, it is great. And when you want a break, go to Gigi's Italian Restaurant. I mean, you put those two together, and I mean, unbelievable. So those are two great places to eat if you need to. But please be in prayer for Judith and recovery. She... Every day we just thank God together that she had her thyroid removed. And I say that because in my gung-ho religious days of health, I would have just highly protested taking out the thyroid because it's so controlling of so much and throughout the whole body. But she knew better, and so I'm very thankful that she had it done. Thankful for the surgeon whose hands did it. We met a lady at the Baylor Hospital Tuesday night. We stayed at the hospital Tuesday night, and 20 years ago, she had her thyroid out. And so I said, well, one of our biggest concerns is that she may not be able to sing. And this lady, who's, you know, I would say 45 to 55, she goes, oh! And she said, I can't hit the high notes anymore. And I said, well, you did pretty good. And she said, and it took her a while to get to where she could get back to singing at her Baptist church. And so just pray for her voice, her recovery, and appreciate your prayers so very, very much. Let's see. Next. Well, let's just continue the prayer. Terry, how's Johnny doing today?
His doctor actually called me this morning, which was great on a Sunday morning. So, yeah, so today he's doing much better. The bowel was still slightly blocked as of yesterday. He's been on liquid diet for 2 weeks. Yesterday was 2 full weeks since the surgery. He had 1 day of solids, and that's when they discovered his bowel was blocked. So he's doing better. The bowels are moving a lot. So they think that blockage might be under control now. So they introduced some soft foods today. We'll see. If he continues to work, the bowels continue to work after the introduction of the soft food, then he'll go to the rehab hospital tomorrow. He's off his IV antibiotics, so the bladder infection's under control. They're still scanning the bladder every time he urinates to make sure. And then his pain, like when he coughs and stuff, it's healing internally real nicely. So staples are still in. He'll probably be in another week. And he sounded better this morning. He really felt bad yesterday when I saw him. I was worried. So today's good. It's a good report.
Just keep praying. Thank the Lord for it and continue praying. Absolutely.
Working well enough, I want to get him into rehab so he'll get, the more he's in the hospital, the weaker he gets.
Very good.
So rehab's going to be right here in Plano, real close to, not far from here.
So I'm excited
about that.
All right.
Yes. Jeff Toussaint, Thomas's friend Cameron, they did their Eagle project together. Yes. His dad just had a very similar operation that my dad had this last week. He's in a hospital in Plano. But he's not doing real good right now. I text Connie this morning. They also had to take out his gallbladder and his colon, part of his colon, like they did my dad, and even a little bit of his small intestine. It was toxic in there. He's been having some leakage for quite some time. He's been on our prayer list. So last night, he's been vomiting. He's got a 12-inch incision on his gut, so you can imagine when you're throwing up and you've got this big incision. He's in a lot of pain. And
give us his first name again.
Jeff.
Yeah.
And they're worried. We need to pray that he doesn't have C. diff. Right now, Connie said that's an infection that you can get. That's what she wants the prayer, so that he can quit vomiting and that he doesn't have infection.
Absolutely.
That's what they're looking for today. This just all took place overnight. I've been kind of monitoring as a close.
Please be in prayer for Jeff and his family.
His family.
Do we know if they're believers or not?
Oh, yeah.
Good. All right. Very good. Okay. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
This one just came in last night. One of my co-worker, Adam, the Latin marriage.
Adam?
Yeah. Please pray for the family and the doctor as well. His toddler daughter, her name is Grace. Got the seizure 3 times yesterday.
Mm.
And the doctor couldn't tell what happened, so they transferred the girl to the medical city.
And how old is Grace?
They just said toddler, so I'm not sure. Toddler,
okay.
Toddler.
Wow.
Yeah. Finally moved her lips, so just like a little bit of grinning, so they don't know what's happening. So please pray for
them. It's definitely being fair. The doctor's wisdom, figuring out the truth of what's going on.
Yeah, she's at medical city.
Okay.
Right now, and they're gonna talk to the doctor. They're trying to get to the neurologist to figure out what happened.
Okay. All right. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Steve.
A friend of mine, family need their prayer requests. They have to make decisions in their lives what they're going to do. And I don't know what it's all about, but I guess it's supposed to be pretty serious. So I just said, okay.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. Kit.
One of the children that's going to college that I'm praying for, his name is Trey. He was involved in a car accident, a single vehicle car accident.
Come on. You did better telling us about it at the early class. Tell us about it.
So the danger of if you've got a problem in the car, you don't concentrate on that problem because you need to drive the car. And so it's kind of like that advertisement with Mayhem, the insurance guy. So you got the cell phone underneath the and then you take your eye off the road. That was his wallet. He thought, all right, where's my wallet? So he looked under the seat and then he went like this, and his hand must have gone like this, and it flipped the truck. It's totally.
How's he?
He's okay. He had to crawl out. Everybody looked at the truck and said, "You're okay?" My wife, of course, said, "You're going to the emergency room. I don't care if you say you're okay." But Dr. Dooley overrules many people.
But he's okay. What's his first name?
Trey.
Trey.
And I have been praying for his spiritual development. We sat down before he went to college, and I said he's a Christian, that his spirituality would be challenged in a college environment. So
God knocked on his door.
Yeah, and he last night he says, "No, I think I'm going to church tomorrow."
It has to go.
It talks about spirituality or something rather than just a checklist.
All right. We're being prayer for Trey. Any other? Yes.
Herman, have you heard anything from Dan Heal? And
heard from him this morning.
You did? Is he back in country?
He'll be back in Phoenix tomorrow night. Okay. He's on his way back now. Had a successful time and he got enough. Thank you for asking. Very good. All right, any other prayer requests?
Just Thomas is traveling today by himself, traveling back home from Austin. Just pray that he makes it.
By himself? Oh, wow.
He went to A&M Friday, and then he went to UT on Saturday, so I don't know where he's at today. I know.
I saw a hand over here, Gigi.
Yeah, my friend Carol's son, he's 44 years old. He's had all kinds of problems. He's questioning his faith. And my friend Johnny's girlfriend is not doing so good.
Okay. All right. Yes.
Ask for prayers for my brother Tom. He headed back to the DC area today. He was able to come home for a week with his family because he had foot surgery. So because he had to have that, he was, you know, on leave. He's got just under a year and a half left in the service, and he's living apart from his family. So it takes its toll.
Where's your station?
Just outside of DC. I can't remember. He's just outside DC, and Stephanie and the kids are in Granbury where my parents are.
Yeah, I knew that.
So we saw him yesterday.
Yeah.
He was heading back early this morning.
How's his foot?
He's in pain. I don't think he's a great patient. I don't think he...
No, let's make that clear. He is not a great patient.
He does way more than he should be.
He does way more than he's supposed to.
My brother, Tom.
So.
Yeah. But I just see it weighing on him, you know, being apart from his family. Our nephew is a senior this year in high school, getting ready to go off to college. His daughter's a freshman. You know, that's all of our moments.
Bad time to be away. Let's be in prayer for Tom.
Just pray for his spirit
and his faith and just have peace in his soul.
Can we throw in his leg while we're in prayer?
Sure. There's still bone spurs are going to get out. But I also want to ask for prayers for my dad, Larry. My dad... he was really tired yesterday. He's involved a lot with this board in their neighborhood. And he's stressed out. I don't know how else to say that. And there's
That's
a group of them trying to deal with a lot of issues in their neighborhood. And they're bickering over little things. So I told him what Herman says. Many churches are the color of the carpet.
That's kind of
what's going on. So just pray for also his peace. And it's weighing on him, and several of my mom's and dad's friends have passed away very close together in a small amount of time. And I just see that on their mind as well.
You know, Larry, there's nothing more important than in July of 2018, just cool it on everything else. Come there, relax, and ready to work for the camp. Gee whiz.
He's good. I could feel it, you know, from yesterday, if y'all would just pray for him.
We'll definitely be in prayer for Larry and Beth. All right, any other prayer requests? Okay, today is a big day in our church. So, go. Not go out the door, tell us. Come on up here, tell us.
Yeah, so we have our Veterans Day celebration is today. Yesterday was Veterans Day, as we probably all know, I hope we know. We are going to celebrate the vets today. We had 199 names put in. Of vets, so we'll be releasing 199 plus one, 200 balloons today to represent all of the vets that were called out and all those that serve each and every day and have served in the past. So we will be doing that today, 3:00, Celebration Park in Allen. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully we got a bunch of kids that will be coming out to play a little football. After the celebration, so we'll have an Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps flag football tournament. Everybody is welcome to play. Miss Snell, please bring your tennis shoes, and we will rock and roll. We'll have some fun there. 75 northbound or 75 is closed right now, so Highway 75. So if you're trying to get up there from here, you're going to want to go up Custer, pick up McDermott, and go east on McDermott over to Angel Parkway, and it's right there. So if you're on the other side, then figure out some way to get north of 15th Street going northbound. So if you didn't get caught up in that. But we'd love to have everybody be a part. Huge celebration, a huge thank you to our vets and our military that serve us every day. And
hot dogs.
Oh, yeah, food. There'll be some food and drink for donations. And we do everything for donations because we're not allowed to sell anything. So we can donate whatever you would know. It's grace gifts to the youth ministry, all supporting the camps and the SLAM and the youth ministry that we have. So all
the 3:00?
3:00?
Yeah. The service will start at 3:00, right? So
service will start there about 3:00.
Okay.
Well, we'll have a ceremony. Might be a little after 3 o'clock. We'll give people a chance because I have that feeling we're going to find some folks that are going to get stuck trying to figure out how to get there.
Yeah.
So we might, starting at 3 o'clock.
How late?
About 5:30. We're looking to, because by that time it's going to be getting dark. And we'll have a football tournament. So love to have you be a part of all of that. Come celebrate with us and celebrate these kids as well. And one prayer request that I didn't get a chance to, my company shut down the mortgage business for Capital One on Tuesday. They announced that. So about 1,100 people lost their jobs on Tuesday. A bunch of friends of mine. So
were you one?
I was not one. But people that I'm very close to, been friends with for a long time, lost their jobs on Tuesday. So some of them had been there for 18, 20 years.
Can they go with a company that's going to pick up that segment? Oh, wow. Okay. So, good make money. Now, if I double my donation, can I get in a couple of names yet?
Yeah, because I got the sack because Larry didn't come, and so you can give me anything you
good.
Want.
Good. Wait a minute.
On the list, we will not be able to add balloons because we already had those. We are out of balloons.
What if I bring some balloons?
You can blow up some balloons. Bring them with you. They probably won't float.
But their name will be called.
Okay, call
very good. Yeah. All right, I have a couple of names like that. Okay, any other prayer requests or information about what's going to happen this afternoon? No, okay. Now, Sutherland Springs First Baptist Church. As a pastor, I can't even think of it. It just, that has got to, even though he wasn't there at that particular time, his daughter was, is now dead. They're going to tear down that building. And so I've tried to get in touch with the pastor so that we could be a part of whatever they're going to be redoing. And but people, again, I want to remind you, be sure we're asking the right question. Not why did this guy do that? Why is this happening more and more? Friday night, Hal Lindsey said, the technical definition of a massacre is when 4 people or more are killed in one shooting. 377 have occurred in America just this year. That's more than one a day. Somewhere across America, more than 4 people killed in one shooting, one incident. So the question arises is why? And I just want to reiterate, the restrainer is God the Holy Spirit, not the will of man. And there are fewer Christians in America today than there was yesterday. When I was a child, when Jim Langston was a child, when James Webb was a child, a lot less. There are fewer Christians who know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you keep taking this restraining ministry of the Holy of America, and first of all, you diminish it by the number of believers. Then you diminish it by the number of believers that know how to even be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you got another dimension. Those who know how, but don't. So people, America is in a prophetic mode. I'm not saying in prophecy, but a prophetic mode. We're on our way for the rapture of the church and definitely the demise of this great country. And as I like to say to you, take any world history book and the most important pages, the table of content, and just look at the rise and fall of nations, rise and fall of nations, rise and fall of nations, various reasons they rose, various reasons they fell, all in the hands of God. There is no guarantee, no written document America is God's nation and will always be. That is not true. We served our time in history. We spread the gospel all over the world. Various organizations went into countries and areas and even villages where they didn't even have a written language. We taught them their own language, put it in writing, and then gave them a Bible. And they love it. They absolutely love it. We've served our purpose in history. And we're moving on. And therefore, it's up to you and to me and a few Christians that understand the restraining ministry. See, this is why the tribulation is so much a tribulation. The restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is removed. How is he removed? By the removal of born-again believers. All believers are removed. Think about that. There is the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit completely removed. And therefore, chaos and tribulation. But even today, he is removed by the influence of believers, who are very few. Pastors do not teach about the Holy Spirit, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith, and demand that you walk in the filling of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see in our study this morning in Galatians. So this type of thing is going to continue. Going to continue in this country. And the idiots blame guns. People, it's an old cliche, but it is so true. Guns don't kill. Cars don't kill. Knives don't kill. People kill. You need to get on people. We're not going to do that. We want to love them. We want to give them a second chance. We don't want capital punishment anymore. We don't want this. We don't want that. But let's take away guns. Let's take away. I got an interesting email this week or whatever. I didn't. Judith got on Facebook. I don't do Facebook. But it said, it had one picture. The liberal thinking. Those who own guns are weird. And the next picture, those who think that they're the opposite sex are normal. And that's liberal thinking. It's just the way they type of think. People were in trouble in this country. And I blame the church. I do not blame D.C. I do not blame Hollywood. I blame the church. On every corner is a memorial. Not every corner, but you know what I mean. Churches, memorials to death. They don't demand their pastors to study and teach the Word of God. We're watching a series called The Tudors. It's at the time of England, when England broke with the Catholic Church. I would not have wanted to live in that time frame. That is unbelievable. You had the Catholics and the Catholic Church in England, and those who didn't want it, those who wanted it, those who didn't know what to do about it. The king wants to be the ruler of the church and of England, on and on and on. But people, we live in just as horrible times. We've moved away from the truth of the gospel. And it's going to be one by one. It's going to be at home, teaching children. It's going to be you and me talking to someone, meeting someone. I was in the hospital with Judith just a day and a half. Got an opportunity to witness many times in the cafeteria and in the hospital. People, you don't know who's hungry. You don't know who's searching. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. He knows. He knows this man, this woman, this kid want to hear it. So you be ready. Be armed with the Holy Spirit. Be armed with the truth of the gospel. Don't get involved in all the other politics. It's the gospel. That's what they need. That's our answer. So we need to be in prayer for this country. It definitely is in trouble. And it doesn't recognize a solution. All people, our founding fathers, recognize a solution. Pastors taught all the time in the early foundation of this country. And nearly every signer of the Declaration of Independence, nearly everyone, not everyone, went to church where pastors studied and taught. So, we're in trouble today. You and I have the answer, the Word of God. Okay, with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, So let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who personally believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit, for it is the Spirit who leads us in regard to do what to do with our time and our money and our home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this humble assembly. We are so thankful that you use the internet in now 56 countries and throughout this country. You give us an outreach of young people in two different homes of this church and the families of this church. Missionary outreach and our own assembly. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. Yes, Father, we get disturbed, so few. But then we look. It's not the numbers that count. It's the quality. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray you'll be with us this afternoon when we will enjoy each other still raising funds for our young people. Hold off any turbulent weather. Give us some nice weather to enjoy the time together. And therefore, Father, we pray now you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to use these offerings in the use of this assembly and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Cameron, we're glad to have you here this morning.
Thank you.
When do you have to go back?
Today, after the veterans.
Oh, okay. Well, we're thankful you came in for that. Good. We'll be in prayer for a safe trip home.
Thank you.
I don't take traveling for granted anymore. I don't even take traveling from my house to Kroger's anymore. When I get in that car, okay, God, I need you. Magoo is getting ready to, that's what my wife calls my driving. Magoo's getting ready to drive. Get me there and home safely. So we'll definitely be in prayer for a safe travel. Not that you drive like Magoo. All right. Now, does anyone not have don't lose your rewards? Does anyone not have don't lose your rewards? Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Again, the purpose of the prayer. You're getting ready to study the Word of God. You're getting ready to study an extremely important little phrase. Just a little phrase. And a long verse, but it's your life after death. It's something that every one of us are going to have to do after we die. This is a must. It's, you know what? It's not even a guarantee every one of us have to die. How about that? There's no guarantee you have to die. The rapture may occur. They cheat you out of death. See? But I'll tell you what. Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us. And you won't get to stand with your husband and wife, your parent or children, the pastor, somebody you want to blame. You stand there on your own. Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God by prayer. All right, Heavenly Father, sometimes we study history of the Old Testament. We weren't there. Tribulation, we won't be there. This morning, Heavenly Father, we're moving to something about where we're all going to be, and standing before your Son as our judge. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth you would have us to see and to understand. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, verse 1 of verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. The thundering King James says, let no one beguile or deceive you of your reward. Prize and reward. Now, seeing these two different translations caused me to want to look at some others. I've given you a list of how others translate this Greek word. So let's take a look. The NIV, do not let anyone disqualify you. People, this is you. These are beckoning from Paul, the power of the Spirit. You don't let this happen to you. Do not let anyone disqualify you. The English Standard Version, let no one disqualify you. International Standard Version, let no one cheat you out of a prize. That's rather street language, but I like it. Don't let anyone cheat you. New Heart English Bible, let no one rob you of your prize. God's Word translation. By the way, these translations just had a different word. Now, there are other translations that use the same word. I just picked out some that use the different words. The God's Word translation, let no one tell you you don't deserve a prize. Dewey Rheims Bible, let no man seduce you. And then, of course, Kenneth Weiss, great Greek scholar, let no one act as a judge, declare you unworthy of a reward. He put about everything that's involved in this word into his translation of it. Let no one act as a judge, declare you unworthy of a reward. Therefore, note the number of ways of interpreting the opening phrase of Colossians 2:18. Not defraud you, not deceive you, not disqualify you, not cheat you, not rob you, not tell you that you don't deserve a prize, not seduce you, not act as your judge and declare you unworthy. So the first thing I want you to kind of get the idea of is, don't listen to people. Listen to the Word of God. Don't listen to people, especially if they're negative. Now, each of these are attempts to translate the present imperative of the rather complex compound verb kata babuol, where the prefix kata carries the ideal of against. And you'll see that throughout all of these. Not beguile you, not deceive you, not cheat you. So they're against you. So these translations are picking up the kata of our word. Then the root of word means to act as a judge or an umpire in an Olympic game, and therefore gives awards or prize in a public game, or to judge against someone in a game, therefore defraud you or deprive you of a prize. The word always carries a negative impact of making a judgment against, to condemn, to defraud, to deprive. This comes from the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament, Volume 3. Now, the ideal of defrauding or deceiving or cheating comes from that prefix kata, against. Now, let me just jump. It isn't in your notes, but let me just jump. The judge that counts, is not in this group. He's not in this group. He's not here to cheat you, deceive you, or split hairs with you. When you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, people, His desire is to offer rewards, prizes, gifts. That's His desire. It's up to you and to me whether or not He'll be able to. The main point to grasp in this word is that we are not to allow anyone to act as our judge so as to cheat us out of the prize. Well, you could have done more. You could have given more. You should have given more. You should have done this. You should have done that. See? People, there's an old quote. Don't concentrate on what you can't do. Exploit what you can do. Don't worry about your limits. exploit what you have. So the present tense here means constantly, every day, every moment of your waking life, every day of your life, especially after you fail. Now, why did I put that in? Because it's after we fail that people like to tell you, you've done it, you've had it, God's through with you, He can't use you, you got an abortion, you had an affair, you did this, you stole, you... No, people, let me tell you something. Getting back in the plan of God is as simple as, I trust the Holy Spirit, and that's grace, and that's God. Now, there may be repercussions of crimes and things like that. I'm talking about being used of God. I'm talking about being used of God. So this is the great issue. It's a present tense. And the challenge is in that imperative mood. I almost got distracted when I was working on this to spend about 30 minutes on the imperative mood again. But we've well studied. It is the furthest removed from reality. Of all the moods, the imperative is the furthest removed from reality. Believers can be talked out of seeking this prize by listening to people. Don't listen. Listen to the Word of God. This is up to each one of us, not to allow anyone to disqualify us from the prize, from the reward. One more point before we move on. In verse 16, no one is to judge you, introduces the attacks of legalism. Then we saw in verse 4, no one delude you. I'm going to show you how many people and different ways they have to distract us, to destroy your marriage, destroy your spiritual life, get you out of the local church where the Word of God is taught. So many reasons that are justified in your mind. So, verse 4, no one delude you. Verse 8, no one takes you captive. And now, no one keeps defrauding you of your prize. You can't believe the number of attacks Satan has against born-again believers. The Greek, in the opening of verse 18, sets up an interesting opposition. This is the way the Greek reads. No one, you. Do you see the contrast? No one, you. You got the no ones over here, and you. They're against each other. That's the way the Greek is set up here, and it reads beautifully. Now, who is this no one? Let no one. Well, we studied this person in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, where Paul writes, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Note there are two objectives. Disturb believers, trying to grow in the Word of God, disturb you, and to distort the Word of God itself, distort the gospel. Relentless people, you and I get tired. We got to take a nap. We got to go to sleep. Satan is working all the time. His soldiers are working all the time to trap you, distract you. And people, there are hundreds of reasons why this woman should leave her husband, why this husband should leave the wife, why you should leave this church, why you should do this, why you should do that. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. I married this person. This person I married before God. I'm not going to leave because of these petty things. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to fight through this. I picked this church because it teaches the Word of God. I'm not going to be distracted out of it. I'm not going to be cheated away from it. Yeah, you got sound reasons why I should leave. You got sound reasons why I ought to leave my husband. You got sound reasons why I ought to leave the church. You got sound reasons for all of this stuff. But it doesn't combat the truth. This is where I belong. So this becomes so important. Now, Galatians 3:1. You non-thinking Galatians, who has charmed you? That's the literal translation. Who has charmed you? So here, added to disturbing you and distorting the gospel, we have how some are used charm to move us away from the truth. Oh, you can really be used over here. We really need your talent here. We can do this here. Your children need a basketball court. Your children need a bowling alley. You need this. You need that. You need all this other stuff. Sound charming. What are they trying to do? Charm your way. I know why God doesn't make old people parents. If I were a father of a daughter, she would get a lecture every day. Don't you listen to the boys. Don't you listen to their charm. Don't you be impressed with their flowers. Don't you be impressed. I mean, that poor girl, I feel sorry for her. And I do that to my granddaughters as much as I can. See? Charm. That's how many lose out on life, being charmed away from the truth. Then in Galatians 5:7, you were running well. That means you were growing in the Word of God. You're increasing in the knowledge of Christ, growing in the knowledge of God. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You have to watch for that word hinder. It's an Olympic expression related to a race, meaning to come across the course in such a manner as to jostle and throw a participant out of the way, to impede you in your spiritual life. And it's like running every day. And there's those movements they could to get us away from it. I don't know how often we do not see what is happening in our lives to distract us from the study of the Word of God, from attending the assembly to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and of God the Father. If we were in a sporting event, we could see it. See, a quarterback goes back to throw a pass. He gets blindsided. Well, I don't know where the guy was supposed to be protecting me from that guy, but he wasn't there, and I got blindsided. Basketball, get blindsided. Different things. People trip you up. People throw you down. See? All these things happen, and you can see them. You can see the results of them. My little granddaughter, she's a really top basketball player. Well, she played a game Friday night. She came back. The big bruise here where she got stepped on, a big bruise in her thigh where she got thrown against the wall. No penalties called. No penalties called. And she just said, that's the game. I went, that's the game. Hit him. this type of thing. But people, we can see that. But what you can't see is when you're blindsided in the spiritual life until it's too late. And you can look back and say, wow, I shouldn't have left that marriage. I shouldn't have left that church. I shouldn't have left that momentum. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. But it's kind of too late. That's when we can see it. Whereas in sports, you see it right then. The Olympic Games, you saw it right then. See? But Satan is always working to charm us, distract us, hustle us out of the way of the event. So we would be able to see these things. But in the spiritual, invisible warfare, we are not as alert. We do not readily see why and what is going on in our spiritual life. Sometimes it is pure and simply our flesh nature. But there are many different movements to appeal to our flesh nature. Yes, I'll admit, it's my flesh nature. But if you want to just carry the whole scenario, it's what was appealed, put up before me. Satan knew my flesh nature. He knew money would distract. He knew fun would distract. He knew adventure would distract. He knew this woman would distract. He knew this man would distract. He knew all of this. Yes, my flesh nature let it go. But Satan set it up. See? So it just is a whole battle working together against us. So at the end of just 1 month, take a look at just how many assembly meetings and the study of the Word of God that you missed. And you can notice the enemy's attacks. Now, back to this no one. At the beginning of verse 18, that begins, no one, you. So, first question, who is the no one? First, false teachers, who in verse 4 delude you with persuasive arguments. that sounds so good. Or who in verse 8 takes you captive with empty, deceptional teaching. Two, legalist of verse 16. Three, ritualist, verse 16. Four, Judaizers, characterized again in verse 16. Five, those whose objectives is to distort the truth of the gospel. Six, those who seek to hinder your advancement in the spiritual life. It could be anyone, family members, friends. And seven, those who seek to appeal to your flesh nature to hinder your running in the spiritual race. It could be any of these people. They're all headed by Satan. But we have to be aware. Let me just give you an example. Jesus the Christ, beginning his ministry, went to a phenomenal believer named John the Baptizer. And he said, no, I'm not going to baptize you. He wanted to interfere with the plan of God. Unconsciously, but that's what he was doing. It's exactly what he was doing. Unconsciously interfering with the plan of God. So Christ simply said to him, permit it. And John, to his credit, okay, I'll permit it. So people, it can be your friends. It's not always your enemies. It'd be a family member. It can be a lot of different things to hinder. That's why walking in the Spirit is so important. Be led of the Spirit, not by people. Be led of the Holy Spirit. This is what is crucial in life. But so, not only do these enemies set up traps to hinder you, and the list goes on, but remember the chief leader opposing your spiritual life is none other than Satan, the great dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, who deceives the whole world. Revelation 12:9. But not only do these enemies set up traps and hindrances in the race, but they attack you physically. An Olympic participant must watch his food intake, watch his intake of water. Are you getting enough of the Word of God? Then, of course, there is weakness. But you're not strong in yourself. Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by human might, nor by human power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I'll come back to that verse when we find out how we're going to define what's going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So, the makeup of the Olympian believer is the power of the Holy Spirit, the nourishment of the Word of God, and the perseverance of faith. Those are your three things. The power of the Holy Spirit, nourishment of the Word of God, and the perseverance of faith. Now, Colossians 2:18. No one, you, and that's you people, the believer who cares about his life in Christ, his prize in eternity. See, and people, you should care. We're going to see this a lot. I'm going to give you different examples that I've heard over the years. Well, I don't want any prizes in heaven. That's not why I'm going to serve the Lord. I serve the Lord because I love Him, and I don't need any prize. That's all malarkey. I want to be loaded with prizes. We love prizes. Christmas is coming. You don't want anything for Christmas? Well, let me know, and I'll take your presents then. See? We love prizes. And the prizes, the gifts that Jesus Christ gives, you want. If Christ is giving it, I want it. And I hope that's your attitude. If Christ is giving them, I want them. I may not understand the whole gamut of it, but I want them. That's the whole deal. So, first thing Paul says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. Now, the reason Paul says no one keep defrauding you of your prize is because they were allowing, see, what I'm pointing here is no one keep. That word keep, and the reason he said that is they were allowing these things to happen to them in the church of Colossae. Paul exhorts them to stop allowing these things to happen in their spiritual journey. There were Judaizers in Colossae who wanted to, you can't really serve, you're not circumcised, and you got to observe these holy days, got to observe the Sabbath. There were the intellectuals, we got to think clearly on this, and it isn't that, is it the Gnostics? And on and on and on. There's so many different attacks. And they were listening to them, they were allowing this to happen. Stop it! Stop it! See? That's what the whole issue is. Stop doing these things. So that's why he says that no one keep defrauding you. So first, the first question arises. That was who is the who. Now we come to the second question. What reward? What prize? See? This football season, pro football, of course I'm sick of pro football, but anyway, it's about the Vince Lombardi Trophy. College, it's about being the number one team in the nation. It's about winning. It's about those things. That's the whole idea of the Olympic Games. Now, what prize? What reward? There are several passages that just speak of it. We're not going to study them, but I want you aware of them. First, Hebrews chapter 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. It's a powerful verse. We could spend a couple of hours on it. Note a couple of things. First of all, note confidence and endurance. People, let me tell you something. It takes endurance. It takes endurance. I'm very thankful for some of you. A couple of you have been with me a long, 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 long time, and that's endurance. Trust me, I know I have to listen to myself and go through all of this. So you have to be endurance. You have to have it. And it's not just one pastor. It's the person that's teaching you the truth. Got a plan, no rapture, I'll be gone. I hope you're trained enough. Get a man, studies the Word of God, loves the Word of God, knows it's sola scriptura, scripture alone, salvation by grace, study and teaching the Word of God. Continue to grow. Endurance. And I hope no one ever, well, Herbert always started this way. Don't do that. You call the right man, you listen to him. I'm gone. It's not me. It's the message. That's what's important. That's what the issue is. So you have the endurance and you have confidence. What does that mean? Living by faith. I trust the Holy Spirit that He will lead me today. I am confident if I trust the Holy Spirit. Well, you were in the Holy Spirit and nothing happened today. Well, that's what he talked about. That's what he brought up. He thought it just needed a day when nothing happened. See? Some people can't handle that. You just can't handle doing nothing. There she is, getting over surgery, all that. I gotta clean the dust over here. Leave it alone. Well, I gotta fix this. Leave it alone. My God, I don't even see it. I'm thankful for old age. I don't see things anymore. See? But you've got to have the confidence that God the Holy Spirit is leading you. And He will lead you in God's plan. And then you have to have endurance. It will get very tiresome along the way. A lot of distractions. You'll get tired, worn out, these type of things. Endurance. From the day you begin till the Lord calls us home. Then you have the ideal of great reward and what was promised. Reward, something given in recognition of one's service, effort, or achievement. Something given in recognition of one's service, effort, maybe even just in one given thing, or achievement. In our discussion, given for service or achievement of the believer while here on earth. Okay? Secondly, first one is Hebrews 10:35-36. Second passage, from our Lord Himself, Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. Oh man, I've been all this money in the security. I got a lock that I can't even undo. I got windows cost me thousands of dollars. I got this. I got five big dogs, three in the front, two in the back. I got this and that. What do we protect? I want to get stolen. It's my prized possessions here. See? That's what he's talking about. Or moth. Ever had your clothes moth written? Rust, destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Verse 30, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Now, here's the secret. How do you store up treasures in heaven? I know how to do it here. I can go to the market. I can get on the internet. I can go buy it. See? But how do we store up something in heaven? I can't even see heaven. How am I going to do that? Now, the question here is, what do you consider a treasure? What do you consider wealth? As you think about this, note verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is it money? Is it looks? Wealth? Success? Things like a Porsche? Or my 10-year-old grandson would prefer a Lamborghini or a Bugatti? And I wouldn't have even known what they were when I was 10. He'd name them, tell you about them, tell you their... how big the engines are, how much they cost, on and on. I keep telling him, you better plan on making some good grades in school, young man, to afford your appetite. See? Because he's got an appetite. And he just, his eyes just get big thinking about it. They take him to a Lamborghini car place now. And if they'll let him, he'll sit in there. He just sits there. Ah, thinking things in heaven. See? What do you think about? What is your treasure? See? Third, Colossians, and you have to answer that. Nobody can answer that but you. I always like to say the best thing to do is figure out what's a priority in your life. At the end of the year, take your checkbook or your credit card papers and just see where all your money went. See where your money went. Wow, look how much money I spent on that. Oh, man, look how much money I spent on that. Look how much money I spent on that, and it's all gone. Look at that. And you just kind of go, you'll learn about yourself. You'll learn about your priorities. Look at the end of the month, why you missed Bible study. What was so important? You'll learn about yourself. Okay. Third one, Colossians 3, chapter 3, which hopefully, if I don't prolong, we'll get to it. 3:23 and 24. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, for as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ you serve. Okay, now we come to the third question. How do you store up treasure in heaven? Should you even desire to store up treasure in heaven? We'll answer these questions later on, both of them. But I want you to note carefully that this is your Savior Jesus Christ speaking in the Matthew passage, exhorting us to desire to store up treasures in heaven for yourself. This is the Lord telling you to desire this, to desire to store up treasures in heaven. So think about it. Our Savior encourages us to lay up treasures in heaven. We'll see you later how. How do we store up treasures in heaven? Many believers, under false humility, humbly bow their heads and piously say something like, I don't want rewards. I'm doing it out of my love for Jesus Christ or my love for others. People, the Lord told you to desire them. the Lord told you to lay them up for yourself in heaven. So please be aware of this, the verse that they're being defrauded. And by the way, that's what, look at 2:18. The first way they're defrauded a believer out of the rewards. The first way is that false humility. And no one you let defraud you of your prize, now we'll come to this later, by delighting in self-abasement. Well, I don't need any rewards. I just serve the Lord. Just do this because I love the Lord and I love people. I'm full of love. Can't you see the love all over me? See? Self-abasement is the number one way people are cheated out of rewards in heaven. We'll study this later. But for now, note that this false humility is one of the great ways of charming believers out of their rewards. Be humble. Do not desire your prize laid up for you. By the time we have completed this short study, it is my prayer that every one of you will have a deep desire for rewards after you die. Fourth question. When and where will these rewards and prizes be distributed? And who's the judge? Who's going to give these rewards? Answer, at the judgment seat of Christ. Talk about the rapture. Be careful, because the first thing after the rapture, you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're taken up, meet the Lord in the air. He takes us to the Father. Father takes us to the courtroom, and we stand there before Christ. Every one of you will stand before Christ after death. The flow of history as it affects us, the incarnation, God becoming man, first advent of Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. Secondly, the sinless life of Christ, qualifying him to represent mankind on the cross. Three, his death on the cross, bearing the judgment for all the sins of the world, unbelievers and believers. Fourth, his resurrection, guaranteeing our resurrection. Fifth, his ascension and session, the right hand of God the Father, where he, as a member of the human race, right now sits in glory. Six, day of Pentecost, Acts 2, beginning of the church age, where everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior receives 34 things from God, including the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Seven, the church age, it's where we now live, where everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior is forming the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and is while on earth during the church age, we're here to win rewards after death. Then after the church age, the rapture, which terminates the church age. Removal of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ at the regathering before Jesus Christ. This is where everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior is resurrected, receives a resurrected body, minus an inherited sin nature. Philippians 3:20-21, 2 Thessalonians 3:9, here we go, judgment seat of Christ, where every believer will stand before Jesus Christ, who will judge our times while here on earth. We can give thanks that we'll not stand before him at the great white throne judgment, but we will stand before Jesus Christ after the rapture. You don't want to be ashamed at that judgment. And by the way, many are going to be ashamed for a short time at the judgment seat of Christ. Rapture. From facts on Bible prophecy. Fast facts on Bible prophecy. Thomas Ice and Timothy Dinant. I just wanted to put this in. I couldn't improve it. Why try to? So let's quickly look at it. Rapture. Some critics have noted that the word rapture is never used in the Bible. While this is true of most English translations, Latin translations of the Greek New Testament did use the word rupera, which is the root of the English term rapture. Many commentary theological terms, many, have been derived from Latin base. Throughout much of the history of the Western Church, Latin was the accepted language of theological discussion. As a result, many theological terms developed out of this language. For instance, Trinity, that's not in the Bible. It's in the Latin. Millennium, eminence, and rapture is also such a word. There are many terms used in the New Testament to refer to the rapture of it. To claim that the rapture should be dismissed on the grounds of language is naively incorrect. The teaching of the rapture is most clearly presented in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. In this passage, Paul informs his readers that living Christians at the time of the rapture will be reunited with those who have died in Christ before them. In verse 17, the English phrase caught up translates from the Greek word parpazeo, which means to seize up with force, to snatch up. This word is used 14 times in the Greek New Testament in a variety of ways. Sometimes New Testament uses arpazo with the sense of stealing, carrying off, or dragging away. Then he gives verses. It also can be have the meaning to lead away forcibly. However, for our purpose, a third usage is significant. This usage is that of God's Spirit carrying someone away. We see this usage illustrated in Acts 8:20-39, where Philip, upon completion of the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch, is raptured or caught up and divinely transported from the desert to the coastal town of Azoro. Then he gets the verses. Similarly, the church will, in a moment of time, be taken from the earth to heaven. It is not surprising that contemporary author Hal Lindsey has called this event the Great Snatch. There was a multitude of theories as to when the rapture will take place in relation to the tribulation among premillennialists. We believe the Great Snatch will occur before the seven-year tribulation. Okay, looking at the rapture. Maybe anticipating it. By the way, let me just tell you, the rapture is not designed to get you out of a jam. The rapture is not a problem-solving device. That's what the Word of God is. That's what the Holy Spirit is. You get into a jam, oh God, please let the rapture happen. See? In fact, I just heard that this morning. See? Grady and his wife ran 26-mile marathon last week in D.C. And he said, about the 24th mile, I was ready for the rapture. See? People, the rapture's not designed to get you out of a jam. See? Okay. You're looking for the rapture, anticipating it, but are you ready for the next event right after the rapture? No, I'm not talking about what happens on earth after the rapture. Are you ready for what happens in heaven? This is the next event for you, the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that no one may be recompensed, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We'll stop here. This will be the beginning part because it'll flow into what we're going to do next Sunday morning. So this just gets us ready. Judgment seat of Christ, next event you can look forward to after the rapture. Standing before Christ. Some will be ashamed, and we're going to study why. And that's what the Bible says. Some will be ashamed. Others will be filled with joy. It is my prayer that every one of you will be joyful standing before Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you, Father, that you're a God we can have a personal relationship with. We thank you that you loved us to send us your Son. You loved us to send us your Word. And you loved us to send us your Spirit. that we can understand your word. Pray, Father, your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, let them settle in our souls, to be alert, to be on guard, who we listen to, that we not be cheated out of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And Father, we pray that you'll be with us this afternoon as an assembly, and we have an enjoyable time at the park, recognizing veterans, having some fun, raising some money for our youth camp, SLAM camp, dealing with these young people. Pray that you'll give us decent weather. Father, we just cast before you all the prayer requests that have been given to you this morning. Johnny, Julie's friends, all these prayers, Father, Judith, Laura's parents and brother, and on and on. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe, Heavenly Father, that we can cause you to act in various people's lives that you may not have otherwise act, because we so petition. Pray all of these things now in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.